You're listening to the Agile Development Practices 2007 Conference Podcast, Episode 5, featuring Mike Cohn. Hi, I'm Joey McAllister, Managing Editor of Multimedia with Software Quality Engineering, and welcome to the Agile Development Practices 2007 Conference Podcast. This is the final episode in a special StickyMinds.com podcast series featuring interviews with the Agile experts who will be presenting keynotes at the Agile Development Practices Conference in Orlando in December. Mike Cohn is the founder of Mountain Goat Software and the author of the book User Stories Applied for Agile Software Development. At the Agile Development Practices 2007 Conference, he'll be presenting a keynote titled Overcoming Water Fallacies and Agile Phobias. Tales of Resistance and Woe, in which he'll tackle mistaken beliefs about and unwarranted fears of Agile. I spoke with him recently about it. Your keynote presentation is going to be called Overcoming Water Fallacies and Agile Phobias, Tales of Resistance and Woe. These are great words, water fallacies and Agile phobias, and they are somewhat self-descriptive, but would you mind telling us a little bit about them?
Sure. A water fallacy is essentially it's a mistaken belief about Agile that comes from a prolonged exposure to waterfall. A lot of people doing waterfall or sequential style development for a long time start to think that's the only way to do it, and these fallacies propagate from doing that. An Agile phobia, on the other hand, is a strong fear or dislike of Agile. Usually comes about from a kind of a fear of change or concerns about the uncertainty that comes with change.
Okay, and what are some examples of water fallacies and Agile phobias?
Well, start with water fallacies. Some examples of water fallacies are things like a real common one is that Agile won't work for us because we can't give firm dates to our customers if we do Agile development, and our customers need firm dates. Another water fallacy is Agile won't work for us because we're federally regulated or FDA regulated, one of those type of things. So Agile won't work for us. So those are myths. They're water fallacies that we'd like to get rid of. Some Agile phobias, there's really two types of Agile phobias. The first are not really well-founded ones. They're things like, I'm afraid I'll lose my job if we switch to Agile. Real common fear, any sort of change can bring that on. I was thinking about that one earlier today. I'm having a hard time thinking of anybody who's lost their job because of a switch to Agile. We get more productive with Agile very often, but there's normally such a backlog of things to do in our companies that we're able to just do more rather than start eliminating people. Other ones are things like, I'm afraid I won't get promotions or raises. These are legitimate concerns, but they're not real. So I classify them as Agile phobias. The other type is a little bit more on the selfish side that people will have, which will be things like, I don't want to do Agile because it'll expose the fact that I take two-hour lunches every day, things like that. So those two types of Agile phobias.
And if a water fallacy is a mistaken idea or belief about Agile that stems from prolonged exposure to waterfall projects, can the term also refer to a mistaken idea about the benefits of waterfall itself based on a team member's simply being more comfortable with the waterfall way of doing things?
Oh, absolutely. Water fallacy is really anything that's not true, but that we've come to believe is true just from having done it that way. A lot of people have heard the story about the young bride who starts making a roast dinner for her husband and cuts off the end of the roast to put the roast in the oven. And the husband says, "Why do you do that? Why do you cut the end of the roast off?" And the bride says, "I don't know. My mom always did that. She taught me to do that." And so the bride goes and asks her mom, and says, "Mom, why do you cut the end of the roast off?" And the mom says, "Well, I don't know. Your grandmother did that." And so they go ask the grandmother, "Why do you cut the end of the roast off?" And the grandmother says, "Well, because I have a short pan and there's the only way to make it fit." And it's this, this thing that just propagates. We learn how to do it and we continue to do it that way, even though there's no reason to. So any sort of mistaken belief that continues on is really one of these water fallacies.
Does it help to have someone on a transitioning team who is transitioning to Agile who is especially knowledgeable or gung-ho proactive about Agile? And if so, is that a role for the team leader or can anyone do it?
I don't really want to consider a vast amount of knowledge or gung-ho attitude as a, a necessary condition, but both of those are wonderful things to have on the team. If nobody's gung-ho, if nobody's excited about doing it, then it's probably not going to happen. And that's not even a fundamental thing to Agile. That's just any sort of change, right? I mean, suppose we're all sitting around in our small company and we say, hey, let's change our health plan. But nobody's all that excited about it. We all like it to happen, but nobody really cares. Not that big a deal. It's not going to happen, right? So any sort of change needs somebody who's going to drive that. The person doesn't have to be the leader. It's just anybody that gets passionate about it is going to help. In terms of knowledge, teams make a lot of mistakes when they first get started. So the more knowledge they can have, the absolute better that's going to be. That can come in the form of just reading books, bringing outsiders in, hiring somebody who's done it before. And again, doesn't have to be the leader, but the more knowledge about how to do it, the better.
In a recent podcast with Mary Popendick, who's another one of the Agile Development Practices 2007 keynote speakers, she talked about Agile having crossed the chasm into the mainstream of the software development world. How do you think that this increasing acceptance of Agile will affect the amount of water fallacies and Agile phobias that we see?
Well, first off, Mary's absolutely right. We've definitely crossed the chasm. We're in the middle of doing that right now. We started this out, going back to the Agile Manifesto in 2001. The first companies to start doing this were the ones who didn't have any choice. They needed faster development processes. They needed more ability to match users' needs. They didn't have any choice. After those companies started the transition, it was really the companies that could afford to gamble with something new. Right, you know, try anything new, it may work, it may not, and you have to learn how to make it work for you. So that next round of companies were gambling a little bit, and it's worked out well for them. But at this point, Mary's absolutely right. Agile is very mainstream. It's not viewed as much of a gamble anymore. It's what's thrilling is to see Agile viewed as a viable alternative in most situations. The companies that are considering it are having discussions about it, and they're on a very credible level. It's should we do this or should we do the other? So that works out quite well within these organizations. What I think we're going to see is that these companies who are starting to transition now that we've crossed the chasm are typically more conservative. They're slower to change companies, and that may be for good reasons due to their industries. But that type of a company attracts people who are more conservative and slower to change, which means, to your question, I think we're going to see even stronger resistance in some of those companies by individuals. So the water fallacies are going to be more entrenched. The agile phobias will be more firmly held onto. These companies have their work cut out for them in terms of making some of the transition. Fortunately, they've got the benefit of all the companies who've gone before them. So we've certainly learned a lot by this point about how to transition to Agile successfully. So these more mainstream companies are absolutely going to benefit from that.
That's great. They can learn vicariously.
Yep.
And finally, what would you say attendees can look forward to taking away from your presentation?
Well, hopefully a couple of new words in their vocabulary. I think these words do help us in the dialogue about this. Also, obviously, beyond learning just two new words, we're going to discuss some of the more prevalent water fallacies and agile phobias, which will be useful. And I'd like people to be able to leave the session knowing how to spot some of these, being aware that they exist, being able to identify them, and I'll provide some guidance on how to overcome them. We overcome the water fallacies and the agile phobias in different ways, so I think that'll be useful for people to know.
Great. Well, thanks, Mike. We look forward to your presentation.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Agile Development Practices 2007 Conference Podcast. We've put some links related to this podcast on the podcast landing page at stickyminds.com/podcasts. If you have any comments or questions, the podcast landing page will also have an email link. Feel free to drop me a line. You can also subscribe to the conference podcasts and other stickyminds.com podcast series on the podcast landing page. Keep an eye on stickyminds.com for future podcasts. The Agile Development Practices 2007 Conference Podcast is a production of Software Quality Engineering.